Well, if you have your Bibles, open them this evening to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Don't you just love the story of Joshua? It is a story of victory from the very beginning to the very end of the book. The walls of Jericho fall down. The sun stands still. The promised land is claimed. It seems like in almost every chapter, the bad guys lose and the good guys win. It is a book of victory. But all of the victory that we read about in the book of Joshua would have been impossible if at a critical moment in his life, Joshua had not chosen to live courageously. Honestly, the linchpin of the entire book of Joshua is the very first chapter when Joshua is afraid and timid about assuming the reins of leadership, and God says to him, "Be strong and very courageous." I believe this evening that every real victory in the Christian life is preceded by the choice to be courageous. And tonight I'd like to call God's people living in perilous times in 2020 to live courageously again, to be strong and very courageous. Let's read about it in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Look again at verse 9. God asked Joshua a rhetorical question. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." And God is saying to Joshua, "Joshua, I command you to be strong. I command you to live with courage." And I'm convinced tonight that courage is a matter of our obedience to God. We sometimes think that courage is a gift possessed by exceptional people. We think about it the same way we think about intellect for a genius. We say, "Oh, so-and-so was born intelligent. He was born brilliant." And we think about courage the same way. "That guy was just born courageous. That lady has courage oozing out of her pores. She was born to lead." We think of a character like John Wayne, or George Washington, or Teddy Roosevelt. We think of larger-than-life leaders with big personalities who've never been afraid a day of their life. Now, folks, if that's true, if that's what real courage is, then Joshua certainly didn't have it. Because God had to tell Joshua over and over and over again, "Be strong and of a good courage." Courage is not a gift possessed by a few exceptional people. It is an obedience that God requires of every Christian. It takes courage to be a Christian. William Gurnall was a Puritan writer. He wrote a wonderful anthology called The Christian in Complete Armor. It's all about spiritual warfare. Here's what he said. It requires more prowess and greatness of spirit to obey God faithfully than to command an army of men. More greatness to be a Christian than a captain. I want you to think about it with me this evening. Every real act of obedience in the Christian life has required courage. For instance, it took courage for you to walk down the aisle in that crowded auditorium during the invitation and make your profession of faith in Christ public. I remember as a six-year-old child how scared I was to walk down to the front of that large church and tell the pastor that I wanted to trust in Christ. It took courage for you to put on a pair of swimming trunks or perhaps some outdated robe and stand in a baptistry and get dunked in front of people you probably didn't know that well. It took courage for you when your family was just scraping by to put that first tithe check in the offering plate. Do you remember that? You thought, how in the world can we live on 90%? What if the car stops running? What if the refrigerator goes out? You were so afraid about what God would do with that 10%. It took courage for you to teach that Sunday school class for the first time. It took courage for you to hand out that first gospel tract or lead your first soul to Christ. Every act of obedience requires courage. That's because obedience isn't natural. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, I was only 13 years of age. I was at the Wilds of the Rockies Christian Camp in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Tom Farrell had preached a fiery message on a Friday night entitled God's Manhunt. God was looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And that night I surrendered to God's call on my life to preach the gospel. I came back terrified as a young person could possibly be. I announced my call to preach in front of the entire church family. I'll never forget as I was shaking hands with people after the service was over, one lady came by and she said, "You'll get over it." That was encouraging. That very next week, the children's church director came up to me and said, "Tyler, God's called you to preach. You need to preach. I'd like for you to preach this Sunday for children's church." And when he asked me to preach, I don't think I've ever stuttered that much in my entire life. I said. And finally I said, I can't preach in children's church. All my friends will make fun of me. Can you believe that? I turned down my very first opportunity to preach. Well, all week long, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, convicting me. I've called you to preach and you've been asked to preach your very first sermon and you're too scared and too afraid of what your friends will think to do what I've called you to do. The next Wednesday night, I told the children's church director, "I'm awful nervous and I have no idea how to prepare a message, but I'll be glad to preach if the Lord wants me to preach." And that next Sunday, I preached my very first sermon. It was a very simple gospel message. I preached for about 15 minutes. And that day, a little boy bowed his head and trusted in Jesus Christ. I was so nervous. I was so scared. But I'm so glad God gave me the courage to preach my first sermon. And by the way, I've been preaching somewhere ever since I was a 13-year-old boy. Every act in the Christian life requires courage. Every decision to obey God is preceded by the decision to be courageous. It's the choice that makes all the other choices. God's calling me to do something uncomfortable, something I'm afraid to do, something I don't feel qualified or equipped to do, something I've never done before. But he's called me to do it. I can trust him. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have courage. And I'm going to do it. The choice to live courageously is the choice that makes every other choice. Now, let's ask some questions about courage this evening. First of all, what is courage? Then we're going to ask, when do you need it? And then thirdly, how do you get it? And Joshua chapter 1 answers all three questions. First of all, what is courage? Is it macho bravado? Is it manly machismo? What's courage? Courage is a willingness to say and do what's right, even when you're afraid. A willingness to say and do what's right, even when you're afraid. Cowardice asked the question, is it safe? Consensus asked the question, is it popular? Courage asked only one question, is it right? And many times in the Christian life, we come to the crossroads of what is easy and what is right. And courage is the decision to say and do what's right, whether it's easy or not. During his years as premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of his predecessor, Joseph Stalin. Once, as he was standing in a public forum censoring Stalin, he was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. The man stood up and said, "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" Khrushchev didn't see who had asked the question, so after the man asked it, he immediately roared, "Who said that?" An agonizing silence followed, as nobody in the room dared to admit saying it or even dared to move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why." Contrast that with the courage of one of our founding fathers by the name of John Hancock. John Hancock is famous for one thing, his signature. There are 56 signatures on the Declaration of Independence, but Hancock's stands out. It's much larger than the rest, and there was a reason for that. He was the first to sign the Declaration of Independence, and he wanted to write his name so large that King George in England could see it without putting glasses on. He didn't want there to be any doubt as to where his allegiance lay. Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves in days that call for courage. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and I think fear is spreading even faster than COVID. We look around our country, our religious liberties are under assault. Racial unrest spreading like wildfire. We are a few months away from the most contentious and controversial election in my lifetime. What are we to do in times like this? We can't just bury our heads in the sand and wish for 2021 to come. We can't just hide in our homes and hope that everything will get better. A.W. Tozer said that a frightened world needs to see a courageous church. This is a time for us to sign our names large and let people know that we stand for the Bible. We stand for the gospel. We stand for God. This is a time to be strong and very courageous. Courage is a willingness to say and do what's right, even when you're afraid. Some people think that courage and fear don't live in the same heart. That's not true. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is giving his last instructions to Joshua and the people of Israel before he dies. And verse 7 says this, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." So Moses gets Joshua in front of him. All the people of Israel are there. And Moses says to him in front of all of the people, "Now, Joshua, be strong and courageous. God's going to go with you. He's going to do it." Now turn back to Joshua chapter 1. And look at what happens after the Lord shows up and asks Joshua to be strong and courageous. Look at verse 16. "And they," these are the captains of the tribes, "and they answered Joshua, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, Moses told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Then God shows up at the beginning part of Joshua 1 and says, be strong and of a good courage. Then when the leaders of the people get together and tell Joshua, we're going to do what you said, just like we did what Moses said, except you've got to be strong and courageous. Now, why did all those people have to tell Joshua to be strong and of a good courage? I'll tell you why. Because Joshua lacked strength and courage. Because he was afraid. Because he was shaking in his boots and everyone knew it. You see, I don't think Joshua had the natural giftings or the leadership skills of Moses. Moses was every bit the leader. And even at 120 years of age, the Bible tells us that his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was a force of nature. Moses had been trained in the palace of Egypt. Moses had a commanding personality and presence. He was the lawgiver. He was a poet, historian, author, leader par excellence. And for 40 years, the multitude looked to Moses, and for 40 years, he rose to the occasion. And now, they're looking to Joshua. And Joshua was afraid. And by the way, you would be too. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wait until you're not afraid to do something for God, you will never do anything for God. Someone once asked General George Patton, what is courage? He said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. And if you're afraid tonight, just hold on a minute longer. Be willing to say and do what is right even when you are afraid. That's courage. Now, when do we need courage? Well, Joshua 1 teaches that we need it when God calls us to new levels, new places, and new battles. First of all, notice God called Joshua to a new level. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. For 40 years, Moses had been the man. He had been the big chief. The buck stopped with him. Joshua was Moses' minister. He was his servant. He was the assistant coach. And you know, that was a role that I think Joshua really liked. I don't think Joshua was dying to be in charge. How do you know that? Well, during Moses' time of leadership, there were several mutinies. The sons of Korah rebelled and tried to take over. There was on one occasion where Aaron and Miriam said, Moses takes too much on himself. There were several people that tried to wrest leadership away from Moses, but interestingly enough, Joshua was never part of that. I don't think Joshua ever wanted to be in charge. He was happy being the man that served the man. He didn't want to be the leader, but don't miss it. That's what God called him to do. And it took tremendous courage for him to step up to a level where he perhaps did not feel comfortable being. Can I tell you something, friend? All throughout your life, God is going to call you to new levels of obedience to him. It might be a new relationship, a new job opportunity that really stretches you and tries you. It might be you're asked to be leader in a new ministry, or you're asked to undergo a new level of generosity or sacrificial giving. All throughout the Christian life, God calls us to uncomfortable places. He calls us to higher levels. He loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. He is constantly calling us when we get comfortable to take another spiritual step. And most of the time, when God calls us to a new level or a new obedience, we hesitate. we respond with a lack of willingness. Why is that? Because we're comfortable where we are. Folks, God has not called us to get comfortable and live by what's familiar. He has called us to be courageous and to live by faith. I actually do not believe that fear is the great enemy of courage. We often think that fear is the opposite of courage. I know that fear often leads to courage. We wouldn't need courage if we didn't have fear. Fear is not the enemy of courage. Comfort is the enemy of courage. An attitude that says, I'm comfortable where I am. I can stay where I am and things will keep going the way they're going. My life will continue to run the way that it's been running, and I won't need much faith in God. I can keep witnessing at the level I'm witnessing at. Keep giving at the level I'm giving at. Keep attempting for God at the same level I've always attempted for God. And it won't require much faith. Comfort is the enemy of courage. You know, Ruth probably would have been much more comfortable staying in Moab after her husband died. Her sister-in-law, Orpah, went back to her family and back to her gods. But Ruth believed that God had something for her and Naomi in the land of promise. And because of her courageous faith and her willingness to be uncomfortable, God promoted her from Moabite widow to the wife of a mighty man of wealth, grandmother to King David, and ancestor of the Lord Jesus. Peter was much more comfortable preaching the gospel to Jewish people. We all like to be around people that look like us and talk like us and think like us. And that was Peter's comfort zone. He understood Jewish people. They understood him. But one day, Peter had a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, and God called him to another level. He was awfully uncomfortable stepping into the home of the Gentile Cornelius. And if you remember the story, they actually bowed down and tried to worship him. And Peter said, get up, you pagan Gentiles. But that day, because Peter was willing to be uncomfortable, he opened the door of the church to Gentiles everywhere. And by the way, all of us Gentiles can rejoice that he did. I thought of Paul and Barnabas. There they were in Acts chapter 13, serving the Lord faithfully in Antioch. A church that was booming and growing, and they were reaching a city for Christ. And Paul and Barnabas could have stayed there all of their lives and been greatly used by God. But you remember what happened as they were praying and ministering to the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. And they surrendered to the mission field and went to Europe and Asia with the gospel. And if Paul and Barnabas had not been willing to become uncomfortable, we may have never gotten the gospel. Folks, it doesn't take much courage to remain stationary, to stay where you are, do things the way that you've been doing them. But when God calls you to a new level, don't let your love of comfort answer, let courage answer. Because if you do, you may just miss out on the promised land. I'm convinced that if Joshua had been hesitant and timid and scared and said, I'm more comfortable being number two, I don't want to be number one, that God would have just passed over Joshua and someone else would have got the blessing of leading the people into the promised land. When God calls you to a new level, let courage answer. Number two, we need courage when God calls us to new places. He says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Isn't this great? Joshua the servant would lead the people where Moses the leader had not been able to lead them. The assistant coach, the man who strayed from the spotlight, the man who hesitated to lead, he would be the one who would lead God's people to their greatest victories. He would lead people where they had never been. Now, for Joshua to lead people where they had never been, it meant that he would have to go to some places where he had never been. he would have to be willing to take a step of faith into the unfamiliar. And folks, it takes a lot of courage and faith to go somewhere in life you've never been. For you, it may have been a short-term mission trip. Getting on an airplane, crossing cultures with the gospel, new language, new food, new culture. For you, it might be going in your neighborhood and putting door hangers on the door, meeting your neighbors. It might be you're from an upper-class family on the nice side of the tracks, but God calls you to get on a bus route and reach some people who are poor and need the gospel. God may even be calling some of you to pack up your belongings and help a church planter. He may be calling some of you older folks into an assisted living community so that you can share the light of the gospel. God often calls us to new places that are unfamiliar and that are flat out uncomfortable. It was 13 years ago this week, Labor Day weekend, Mission Conference week, that my wife and I packed up a U-Haul and moved from East Tennessee to Fort Worth, Texas. We came to help Dr. Weaver in the youth ministry. Now, I knew that God had called me to preach, and I'd spent several years in seminary preparing to preach. But I'd never served on a church staff before. Nobody in my family had ever been involved in ministry. I had no idea what the operation of a church looked like day in and day out. I certainly didn't know what it was like to live in a big city like Fort Worth. Those were awful, uncomfortable days for us, the first days of our ministry. I remember when we arrived into town, Dr. Weaver had asked some of the young people from the youth department to come and help us unload our U-Haul. Not one of the teenagers showed up. Brother Rigsby was the only person who met us and helped us unload our truck. They had a very nice reception for us that next Sunday. They showered us with gifts. They said, "Welcome to the church." While we were in that reception, several of the teenagers in the youth department snuck over to our house, wrapped it in toilet paper, which was no big deal. That was the first of many times that happened. But they wrote in shaving cream on our driveway, "You're in for a rude awakening." In those first few months, everything about their facial expressions and attitude said the same thing. My first youth activity, we were going to go down an hour south of Waco, and I was going to take the teens to a corn maze. We had been to these corn mazes in East Tennessee where the corn seemed like it was 20 feet tall, and you could get lost in there for hours. It was a lot of fun during the fall. We loaded up the bus. I had never been there, looked at pictures on the internet. We got there, and the corn came up to our nose about. It was a flop of an activity. And I remember in those early days, it took so much courage for me to get up and just to preach to those young people. I felt so inadequate, so incapable. Many times during that first year of ministry, I wanted to load up that U-Haul and go right back to East Tennessee or go back home to West Texas. But as I look back on that, over 13 years later now, I realize that all of that was part of God's preparation in my life. God stripped every earthly resource from us. We were so lonely, we learned to depend and trust upon the Lord in a new place. And looking back, I'm so glad that Tori and I allowed God to lead us to Fort Worth, Texas, because this, like the promised land, would be a place of great victory and blessing in our life, and we would come to know those young people and love them in a great way. The point is, when God calls you to a new place, have the courage to follow him there. I think about the Costigan family last year going on a short-term mission trip to the Navajo Nation, getting a burden and even a calling to go get the gospel to those people. They had a good job and a comfortable living, serving in a church that was healthy and growing. And God said, "Sell everything, pack it all up, move to the Navajo Nation." And what they didn't know, what none of us knew, was that they would get there and a pandemic would break out, and the Indians would face the most severe effects of that pandemic like people all over the nation have not faced. And God sent a faithful, good, and godly couple to a tough place at a tough time to encourage some pastors and help some Christians. God knew that the Costigans were needed there, and they had faith to follow God to a new place. God is probably calling someone listening to this message to the mission field. He began churning in your heart during our conference. And all you can think of is how foreboding the land is. All you can think of are all the obstacles that are in front of you and how unfamiliar it would be to go to a different courage. But I believe with all my heart that if God is calling you and you'll have a little courage, you'll look back a decade from now and realize that that foreboding mission field was really your personal promised land. That was the place of blessing and victory. That's where God would do His greatest works in your life. You just had to have the courage to follow God to a new place. We need courage to go to new places. We need courage when God calls us to new levels. We need courage when God calls us to new battles. Look at verse 5. God gave Joshua a comforting promise. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And God says right up front, Joshua, I want you to know this is not going to be a cakewalk. There are going to be a lot of men, big men, big nations, strong nations standing in your way. But I want you to know, Joshua, I'll be with you. I'll help you fight the battle. And no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You know, folks, we need courage to face new battles in life. All of us are facing new battles, aren't we? None of us thought we'd be facing in 2020 what we're facing. Your marriage is facing stresses it's never faced before. Your children are facing things they've never faced and hopefully will never face again in their lifetime. Our church is facing some battles I never thought we'd face. Look at our country. I'm not very old. But I've had many people tell me that they've never seen our country under attack like it is at this very moment. For reasons that only God knows, God has brought this generation of American Christians to some of the greatest battles that have ever been fought in our nation's history. And it will require courage to be the witnesses that God intends for us to be. I believe tonight that if we are on the Lord's side, if we're on the side of the Bible and on the side of the gospel, we can claim the promise that God made to Joshua. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You remember what the Lord Jesus told His disciples? He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He said to them, "Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus told the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." I'd remind you this evening that we are not children on a playground. We are soldiers on a battleground. Let's have courage. Let's be faithful unto death. And as this generation of American Christians has been called to fight a severe battle, let's rise to the occasion and be strong and very courageous. What is courage? It's a willingness to say and do what's right even when you're afraid. When do we need courage? When God calls us to new levels, new places, and new battles. Now, here's the million-dollar question. How do we get it? How do we get the courage that God has called us to have? Well, God tells us in Joshua chapter 1, we need three things. There are three sources of courage in the Christian life. Here's the first thing we have to do. We must trust His presence. Trust His presence. Remember what God said to Joshua over and over and over again? "Be strong and very courageous. I will be with thee." Look at verse 5. He says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee." Look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why? I'm leading all these people. I'm going into a strange land. We're going to fight all these battles. How can you tell me not to be afraid? Here's how. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's the source of our courage, the presence of God. Some of you have been told all of your life to look for courage in the wrong place. You've been told you are awesome. You are special. You're one of a kind. And if you think you can, you can. And no wonder courage is failing among many Christians. You know why? Because you're really not that awesome. Neither am I. You're really not that special. Neither am I. And there are a lot of things that you will not be able to do merely by the power of positive thinking. There are a lot of things I thought I could do that I couldn't do. When I was a sophomore in high school, I tried to put positive thinking, the power of positive thinking, into dunking a basketball. Here I am 20 years later. I think I can, but I can't. I'm not that special. I'm not that talented. There are a lot of things that I can't do. But ladies and gentlemen, there is someone in you and someone with you that is that special. And is that talented? And is that able? Courage does not come from looking at what's inside you. It comes from seeing the one who is standing beside you. And God told Joshua, keep your eyes on the fact that I am with you. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. That's a powerful statement. Joshua, the secret to Moses' life wasn't really his education in the palace. It wasn't that he looked the part of leader. It wasn't his exceptional leadership skills. The secret to Moses' leadership was that I was with him. And Joshua, that'll be the secret to your life too. Hudson Taylor said, all of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. That's the secret. We may not feel his presence, but we trust it. Christian, the Lord is with you. On every new level, in every new place, for every new battle, the Lord is there. Trust his presence. The second source of courage is to claim his promises. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. How? For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance this land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God is asking Joshua to remember a promise that he made to Abraham a long time ago. Remember Genesis chapter 12? I'm going to make from your seed a great nation. I'm going to give you a land and your seed will bless the entire world. And God is saying to Joshua, I made that promise to Abraham all those years before. I do not fail to break it. I do not plan to break it. And ladies and gentlemen, we can claim the promises of God. Don't ever forget that behind every promise is the power of God. God did not command Joshua to be strong because he was strong. He commanded Joshua to be strong because he was not strong. But that if Joshua would live by faith and yield himself to him, God would give him his strength. A strength and courage that he did not possess. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is full of promises. Every one of them is true. God kept his promise to Abraham and to Joshua, and he will keep his promise to you. Find courage in the promises of God. Here's the last thing. We find courage by trusting his presence, claiming his promise, and thirdly, obeying his word. Now look carefully again at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. How? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says, Joshua, every day of your life is going to be a battle. Every day of your life, you're going to need wisdom to lead millions of people. Every day of your life, you're going to be fighting kings and dividing the land. And every single day of your life, you're going to need a strength and courage that you do not possess. Where do you get it? Well, you get it when every single day of your life, you meditate and memorize and speak the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This book is the book that gives us the daily strength and courage that we need to live for God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is increased. We live more courageous Christian lives as we look in the Bible and see what he did for Moses and see what he did for Joshua and see what he did for the disciples. And as we see that God came through for them, we will be emboldened and encouraged and strengthened to live by faith and see what he will do in our time. Every day you're going to face battles. So every day, open up the book, memorize it, meditate upon it. And when you do, you'll find strength. You'll find courage. Then your way will be prosperous. Then you'll have good success. So what is courage? Willingness to do what's right even when you're afraid. When do we need it? When we face new levels. When God calls us to new places. When we fight new battles. And how do we get it? It's really not that hard. You trust his presence. As he was with Moses and Joshua, he will be with you. Whatever you're facing tonight, he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Trust his presence. Then claim his promise. Each and every day, find a promise in God's word to claim and live by it. And we find it, thirdly, by obeying his word. Can I ask you this evening, are you defeated and discouraged? Many are. Be strong and very courageous. Are you about to take a new step of faith? Be strong and very courageous. Courage is a matter of obedience to God. It's a command. God leaves no room for weak need, mamby-pamby, defeated, discouraged Christians. He calls all of us to be strong and very courageous. But with every command comes the promise behind that command that when we cannot do it, God will give us the strength to do it. The source of our strength and courage is God himself. This is not a time to ask what's safe, what's popular, or what's easy. It's not a time to hold on till 2021 gets here. This is a time for courage. Let's stand up. Let's be strong. And let's be very courageous. May we pray together. Father, this passage was such an encouragement to me as I studied it. I remember walking through it in the early days of my pastorate here and how it brought hope and strength and courage to my heart. I pray this evening that it's brought those same things to those who are listening. All of us are facing battles and new levels and new obediences in our Christian life and how we need the courage and strength to live for you. Help us to go to the sources and avail ourselves of the resources that you've provided. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.